Gracious Father, we are so humble, Lord, to know that you are here and that you have come down with a shout to declare your message to your people, to gather your people that were foreordained in you before the foundations of the world. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would help us one more time just to give you all the praise and honor and glory in the name of Jesus Christ by thy word given back to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I want to thank all the brothers for their contributions to the music, and it's wonderful to see you step in like you have. So this morning we're going to look at the same word, and the message is called Same Word. It's actually part of our Satan's Eden, and the reason why we're taking this message is because you see, in this message, we have people who, well, let me just put it this way. Brother Branham, we went over this about 3 weeks ago. Brother Branham said that what I am laying down right now is in seed form. And he said about three places that I quoted from where the message that he brought is in seed form, but he said it's the fivefold ministry's job to make it manifest. Now, what we're looking at is the words from Brother Branham from the Bible, from Isaiah, you know, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all these different places, Malachi. And we're looking at the word itself in a reality. We're no longer looking at a seed form. You know, when Brother Branham preached, it was seed form. And if people are going to the message to listen to these tapes, and they're not seeing a reality, there's something wrong. They don't have the Holy Ghost, all right? And because the Holy Ghost enlightens the word to you. And so, anyway, it's a shame because you've been in the message for so long and yet without the Holy Ghost. But you see, if the word, right now we're in harvest season. And so harvest season is not just for the wheat and the tares, okay? But it's for the world and God's world, all right? Basically, God's seed and the tares. Now, in other words, things that Jeremiah said, things that Isaiah said, things that Ezekiel said, and all the prophets of God are now coming to manifestation in this hour, all right? It's no longer a word for another day. It's no longer a word looking back or a word looking forward. It's actually the seed is manifested. And so if you don't see it in its manifested sight, you will not see God. Now, here's the thing. The shout itself is supernatural, all right? The shout itself is something that the world cannot see. They don't see the message. They don't see the parousia of God, which, you know, and I'm surprised that people in this message think the parousia of God is false doctrine when Jesus preached it. And Paul preached it, and Paul said, if you're preaching anything other than what I preach, you're accursed. He said that. All right. So Paul preached it and Peter preached it and John preached it and Jane preached it. There's 23 times that he preached it. So it's not a cursed thing. It's actually, it's just, listen, I'm going to show you why today God is separating his people, and, his seed will see this, all the seeds of God in manifestation form in this hour, or they will not see the voice when it comes either. Because when the voice of the resurrection comes, you will be so used to seeing the word of God manifested. You will be so used to seeing the I am, not the I was or the I will be, that you can't help but to see the resurrection. Now, I know that most people think that God works in hocus pocus, you know, but you know, that's not true. God has principles and he has ways of doing things. So Moses saw the ways of God, but the children of Israel just saw the actions, you see. And so they didn't know what the actions were, but Moses did. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, but we faint not. Okay? We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, notice, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. All right. They cannot see that Jesus and Paul and Peter and John and James use the word parousia. Now, if that is not the apostles' doctrine, I don't know what is the apostles' doctrine. Brother Vail said it's the greatest of all the revelations in this hour outside of Godhead. Because if you don't see in present tense, you are lost. Now, that's what Brother Bram told Brother Vail in the church, in the audio tape, where he was going over, not the Churchy book, but actually the 20th century prophet. And Brother Bram said, now, Brother Lee, God has to manifest present tense of it, so he sends a prophet. All right. Now, notice the manifestations began with the prophet, but they continue until you and I are fully adopted and fully are manifested as sons of God. It will not stop manifesting until we are all manifested. So anyway, so he says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. So, in other words, God changes vessels, okay? In the Old Testament, he used prophets, and this hour he used Jesus Christ. Brother Bryan said that the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but it'll come through a prophet. Now, we must ask why their eyes were blind, because, you see, Satan blinds the eyes. Notice Laodicea, they're blind and naked, miserable, don't know it. The God of this world hath blinded their minds. And so we ask ourselves, all right, why their eyes are blind? You know, it is Laodicea, where their eyes are blind and they are naked. But why are some eyes blind while others see clearly? And notice he said, by manifestation of truth. That is what revelation is. Revelation is, according to the dictionary, manifestation of divine truth. You see, reveal means to make known. Okay, so in other words, God reveals his word by bringing it to pass. It's manifested. So Paul gives us a hint while some eyes are blind and some are not. We are told by Jesus in the parables that the same word is said in such a way as to blind some while others may see what it speaks about. In other words, Matthew 13:10, he says, and the disciples came unto him and said unto him, why speakest thou to them in parables? Notice their question is directed at others, not themselves. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, right there, anybody that does not believe in predestination, I really feel sorry for them, because he says that there are some who are predestined to see, others who are predestined not to see. That's why the parousia is so important, because you see, if you are not predestined to see it, you will not see it. I'm sorry. I can lay it out crystal clear. In faith number 38, I laid it out. And in faith number 39, I laid out that there are 84 signs and events of those perusing. Now, you see, in the scriptures, Jesus said 50 of those signs and events. Then Paul gave another 30 or so. Then Peter and James, John, etc. So you see, there were 84 signs and events of the parousia. The parousia is not some false doctrine like some declare it is. Brother Branham himself said there's an appearing and a coming. The appearing is now. He's appearing as the Holy Spirit in the midst of his people. Well, now, if you don't understand that the appearing is the parousia, you just have no clue. You haven't read your Bibles. You know, you might read message here and there, and I doubt you even read the messages and even listen to them, because if you heard Brother Branham about 8 times, he said, there's a difference between the appearing and the coming. The appearing is now, and Christ is getting ready his people for a coming. All right. So there's an appearing and a coming. Well, here Jesus says, I speak to them because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So the words is said in such a way as to blind some, but also others may see it. For whosoever hath, and the word there is echo, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Why is that? Why is that? You might have more abundance, you the echo, but it says, whosoever echoes not, from him shall be taken away even that he thinks he's echoing. Now, why is that? Well, let me tell you this. Because when you echo the word, all right, it goes back to God. All right, then God brings it back to you in a greater way, and then you bring it back to God in a greater way, because now you have an understanding. You see, when I listen to an echo, I don't necessarily know what he is saying in the echo the first time I hear it. In other words, it goes an echo, an echo, an echo, an echo, an echo. By the time I get to the second or third or fourth time, now I've got a clear understanding of what the echo is telling me. That's exactly what we are to do with God's word. We are to echo it back, and then God gives it in a greater measure. Then you echo it back in that greater measure, and God gives you a greater measure. Just like the seventh seal, he said it's like a Roman candle, and the light comes out of it, and then out of that light comes another light, and out of that light comes another light, out of that light comes another light. It's an echo. All right? God is echoing his word to you, and you are repeating it back to him, and he gives you even greater measure. So, what is it about the word that some may echo it and others do not? It's the same word, isn't it? Why do they think they are echoing when they are not echoing? What are they doing? They are just repeating what they hear, but an echo is given, is given back when it is given. In other words, you can't have an echo from a repeat. In other words, you can't have an echo, you have to have the source. The source gives the echo, then it echoes, and then echoes, and echoes again. But you can repeat the scriptures, and they have for 2,000 years. They've repeated the scriptures, and they look forward to the end time, whenever that is, and they say, oh, at the end time, this will happen, and this will happen, and this will happen, and they don't look around and see it's happening. You see, that's why... not next week, we'll have Easter next week, and I'll preach on the resurrection and resurrected life. But from there on, we're going to do about a half a dozen or maybe a dozen sermons on the end time scenes. I want you people to recognize the Word of God is fulfilling in your very midst. I want you people to be looking for the Word and seeing it happening, not just in the past, not just in the future. It's happening now. All right, but the same word is given. They are given the same word that we are hearing. Why is it that each for some that they are actually hearing an echo, and others they're just repeating it? In other words, when they turn on a tape, it's a 65-year-old tape to them, or a 58. At the least, and greater. All right, they're hearing it, and they're looking back, and they're saying, "Oh yeah, he was preaching against those Pentecostals," and "Oh yeah, he was doing this and this and this." No, it's for now. You should be hearing that word, and it should come alive to you that you are seeing the things transpire in your very presence. They are happening right now. Okay, so, and the answer that you can hear an echo and they hear a repeat is because the word is alive and they do not recognize it. They still see it for another day. It is dead to them. It is a word for years past, and they don't see it in the present tense. They're still looking back at 1965 and older. and saying, oh God, you know, he really hit those Pentecostals, and oh God, he just said this about them and this. No, he's saying it about you or about the people around you. I'm not, you know, I mean, you if you're wrong, but you know what I mean. Okay. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they do not hear, neither do they what?
Understand.
It's all about understanding the message. You see, there's a lady who says, well, I don't understand the message. She said to Brother Bill, well, I don't understand it. Therefore, I'm not going to be held accountable. He said, you got that backwards, sister. He said, you are held accountable. Therefore, you had better understand. You see, why is it that we can go through grades 1 through 12, and some of us 1 through 16 or 17, and, you know, we apply ourselves and we study this and study that, and we don't study the message. And we don't take the message back to the Word of God. And we don't see the message from the Word of God. Why is it? Because you're lazy. You're con-picking lazy. You're Laodicean. You think that you're increased with goods because you got a message, and you don't even study it. Men say that they believe the message of God, and they don't even believe it. Oh, Brother Bram said this, but we got our ways and this and that. Yeah, you got your ways all right, and you're going to hell with it. I'm sorry, but you know, if you don't believe what he said, you are going to hell. All right? And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. So these are people that are listening to tapes. They shall hear, but they don't understand. How are you going to hear in this hour without tapes? Huh? Come on. They hear, but they don't understand what's being said. And seeing, ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, which is the prophets, they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they do hear. All right, now, I'm not mad at you people. I'm just preaching a sermon. But now, we're living in the most deceitful time ever for man. Jesus said so. In Matthew 23, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, well, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy parousia? Now, it was translated as coming, but that's the wrong translation, because the word parousia simply means the act of arrival and subsequent presence, whereas coming is just you're there. All right? So, it's the word coming is an end of it, but the word parousia is the all of it. All right? He descends with a shout, then it turns to a voice, then it turns to a trump, and all these things take place during the parousia. Okay? So, at the time of his, now he says, and what shall be the sign of thy parousia, or presence, and of the end of the world? You see, if the word parousia had been left as parousia, it would not be misunderstood today, because it simply means presence. Just like baptism was not translated, baptisma, which is our baptism. Okay, so it was translated a little bit, but not much. But we get the gist of it. You dunk them and put them under, and that's a baptism. But parousia is presence. And if it was left as presence, then they would have to know that there's an appearing before the coming. Brother Branham used the word presence 4,400 times in 1,200 sermons. Plus, he used the word appearing and coming. He used he is here and things like that, until you got about 7,000 or 8,000 times in only 1,200 messages. So that means about 7 times a message he said he's here. And you know what? People go on and say parousia is a false doctrine. If it's false doctrine, then you're not saying what Paul preached. Now, who's false then? You or this word? Paul preached it. Now, come on. Paul preached it. And Brother Branham said, I'm only saying what Paul preached. All right? So, what will be the sign of thy parousia, or presence, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So, at the time of his parousia, his presence, it will be a time of deception, like no time before. It is seven times hotter in this generation than in any other age, and that is what the prophet taught. And so we must ask, why is it so deceitful? And I say, although it be an age of deception, not only in education, they kick prayer out of the schools, you know, but in politics and in healthcare and in media, as well as in religion, etc. In other words, it is in religion where the real deception is at. Everyone knows our government, all the governments, they lie to the people. I mean, they got the people all in throughout the whole world to take a jab, and I'm sorry, but what good does it do you? In other words, mRNA, brother, sister, changes your DNA. You are no longer a human, you are a transhuman. I'm sorry, but that's what you chose. You didn't have to do it. But what makes it the most deceitful time ever is that in this very message, there will be more deceit amongst the clergy than at any other age before it. In Matthew 24:23 says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth." Now, like those who taught that you have to be in Arizona to make the rapture, in August 23rd, of 1964, the question came up several times. All right, they said, "Is it true, Brother Branham, we have to move to Arizona to be with you in order to make the rapture?" And Brother Branham said, "No, that would make me Antichrist." Now, the Baptists don't say it, right? They certainly don't. And neither do the Pentecostals say it. And the Catholics don't say it. And the Lutherans don't say it. So this message, notice Jesus said, they will say he's out west, go not forth. All right. So this message, this word is held against the so-called message believers. Because if you call yourself a message believer, Brother Branham never said that. Brother Branham talked about being a Christian, not about being a message believer. These churches that call themselves message believers are absolutely wrong and have denominated the word message. And Brother Branham said, when he was going off the scene, right before his fateful trip, he said, "There are 17 different versions of the message today." How many do you think there are today? 69? Well, let's say they say 72 genders. I suppose there's 79 at least. No, there's probably 2,000. I mean, there's thousands. All right? Every church has their programs, okay? Every church has their, you know, has their things that they think they're right, and they're not right. Brother Branham said, this message is a million miles beyond Pentecost. Then why are they Pentecostal, are holding to their Pentecostal, you know, Jericho marches and all this other stuff? All right? It's wrong, brother, sister. It's wrong. Shouldn't be done. Did you ever see the prophet do a Jericho march? Come on. Did you ever see him do that? No. All right? Brother Branham, you know, even in the song service, he said, you know, people, you know, in Africa, I had to scold them over there because they were carrying on and had, you know, the pastor had seven balls filled with lead, you know, and he was just banging away, and bongo players were banging away for an hour. And, you know, and they had about 2 hours of song service before the preaching began, and the people were so worn out, I scolded the church. Then the next day, the Holy Spirit showed up, you know, those three rainbows, and, you know, formed a full circle over the church. So, you know, I just say this because they were wrong. And the pastor got up and he said, "You know what? We were wrong." If you listen to the tapes, Brother Branham said, it's supposed to get you to worship. It's supposed to be, you know, very soft, he said, and very gentle and everything else. And then they got up there and they bang, 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 and really roused the people up. No, you're supposed to get rousted up after the service. You're supposed to sing those kind of songs after the word is gone for, if you've got any energy left. But you should be pulling from the word as it comes, all right? So anyway, so he says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." So those people that were saying that you had to be in Tucson to make the rapture, he said, don't believe them. "For there shall arise false Christs." Now, notice that's false anointed ones. You know, I'm sorry, but those people that will only listen to a tape, they don't believe this message because they say Brother Branham was all fivefold ministers, and you know, he was all five of them. He said, I'm not a preacher and I'm not a teacher. So he said he's on at least two of them. But you know, they'll just take and say there's no more fivefold ministry. He's not talking about false Jesus, false Christ. That's you in the pew. You're falsely anointed. Now I'm not talking about you people, I'm talking about the people in the pews are falsely anointed. And then there's false prophets or false preachers. So falsely anointed, false preachers, okay? And shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, it's in the desert, go not forth. All right, don't go to Arizona. All right? Now, like those who were taught that you had to be in Arizona to make the rapture, and that was only in the message, behold, he's in the secret chambers, Jesus says, believe it not. Now, the word for secret chamber applies only to the message because the Greek word for secret chamber, tamion, means storehouse. Behold, he's in the storehouse, believe it not. Behold, he's in the distribution center, believe it not. Which they say is only in Jeffersonville. They even began the production of books and tapes in what was once a World War II storehouse for ammunition. And it was called the storehouse. Anybody that's old enough like me would know it was called the storehouse. And he said, believe it not. So this is what Jesus said. And can only be applied to this message. It cannot be applied to the Baptists. It cannot be applied to the Pentecostals or to the Wesleyans or any other. Now, one is a coincidence, but two is a witness. All right? So that's what he's telling you. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the parousia of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So what would make so deceptive of an age? That it would be so close that only the elect will not be deceived. Well, he said, wheresoever the dead body is, there would gather all those who eat meat. You know, because I say that, because in Luke 17:37, he says, and they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither the eagles will be gathered together. And the word eagle is actually a word which means a terror of the beak. All right. Now, in Matthew 24, he says, where the Potomac is, the word Potomac means the lifeless body. But whereas in Luke, the word body speaks of the fresh kill. Now, in Matthew, it was very descriptive where the Potomac is, out west, and where the storehouse is. But in Luke, he is not. So it will be like, just like the lightning from the west to the east. It will be so universal anywhere. Like lightning flashes throughout the sky from west unto the east. So what does that mean? And why does he put it in two different ways to put it? All right. Because you have a word preached that is a seed, but that seed grows up to a manifested plant. The elect are looking at the manifestation of the seed and see manifestations all around them. But the unelect are looking back at the seed and its death because they say, well, Brother Branham said, well, Brother Branham said, well, Brother Branham said, and they can't even see that that which he said has already happened. All right? So, as I mentioned, in Luke, it speaks of the fresh body. In Matthew, it's Potomac or dead body. And where the west, the storehouse is, etc. But in Luke, he's not. So it will be just like the lightning from the west to the east. It will be a universal thing. Everywhere, lightning flashes throughout the sky from the west onto the east. So what does that mean? Why does he put it in two different ways? Well, Brother Branham said, he made a statement in his message sermon, Anointed Ones at the End Time. He said, for it is impossible for those which were once enlightened, they once were enlightened, and didn't move on with the word as it come to pass. Well, who's that? Message believers. I'm sorry, but you know, it could be the Pentecostals too. It could be the Methodists, could be the Lutherans. But we're looking at this message, and we're looking at those who at one time they saw God send a prophet, and they were very excited about the seeds that the prophet brought forth. But as time goes on, man gets lazy and sloppy and everything else, and they're just still looking back. And they're not looking at what he said, because back then they were looking at what he said as being a reality. Today they're looking at what he said, and they're looking back at seeds. So it's dead. He says, "For it is impossible for those which were once enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it come to pass." What does he say? They are dead and they are gone. "And the thorns and thistles, which is nigh unto rejection, whose end is to be burned." Is that right? That sounds like a dead word. Pitoma. Okay, so notice they're looking back at the Pitoma. They're looking back at the seeds, and it's dead, unless they're looking at the body, which is a fresh kill. All right? Now, not a living word, soma, but it is to some a dead word because they look back to others. It is a living word because they look at the present tense now. Not the dead word on tapes of years gone by, but that same word is alive and they see it in the present tense. Now it is a reality. And listen to this, brother, sister, from his authorship, but I'm going to say this. When does the word of God go from being a seed to becoming a reality? It's when the word is ready for harvest. Now, then it is no longer a word. It is no longer a seed. It is a reality. All right? Now, again, in his audio letter to Leavell, he said, "Would it be, you think, advisable in here to say that God, then, in order to proclaim this, has to send a prophet in order to inject this, to make this real again, show the people the hour that we're living in?" And that's exactly what began the reality. Look, Israel was in her homeland in 46, a reality of the seeds of God. All right. How many other things have taken place since that time, since 46, when the prophet came on the scene and he preached seeds were coming? He said there would be germ warfare. It's already here. Every nation is involved with it. All right. So it's about time that you listen to the word. And when Brother Branham brings something to your attention, you hearken to it and you say, "It's around us. It's already transpired. It is here." All right? Now, would you think advisable to say then that in order to proclaim this, God has sent a prophet in order to inject this, make this real again, show the people the hour we're living? Because if they only see it in the hour past, like 1965 through 46, all right, then there's no hope for the church. The church must see it in the present tense. So God sends his prophet to manifest present tense of it. You see, and then after it's over, then history is. Now, you might inject that, Brother Lee. All right, so he did. Now, the thing of it is, how many people in this message are looking at present tense? They're looking at the word of God, and they see the word, and they see the prophet's message, and they bring the two together, and they say amen to that. I see it's exactly happening right now. Now, it takes us to what he says in the sermon, Satan's Eden. He says, the God of this world today, the worshipped person of this world today, is Satan, and the people are ignorant of worshiping Satan. I ask you the question, are you ignorant of who you're worshiping? Some say, "Oh God, you know, God is the same. Jesus was God." No, Jesus was not God. The prophet said he was not God. And yet, other places he said, well, the reason why you could say he was God is because God was dwelling in him. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead body. See? But it's Satan impersonating himself as the church. You see, if you people are dependent on a church to get your religion, you're lost. I'm sorry, you are lost. If you are dependent to be there Sunday and Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, and you're depending on that church to get the word, you are lost. You should be reading your Bible every day. You should be reading a message every day. You should be studying it. If you want to graduate, which means be caught away, okay, caught up. If you want to graduate in God's program, you better be studying his material. God himself came with a shout, and Brother Branham said in the rapture tape that a shout is a message. So if you do not see the reality, now listen, let me just say this, and I'm just going to try to put it in words that you understand. But if you can see the parousia, that God came down in 46. God is still here with us. He showed himself in Africa in different places. All right, God is still here. He said the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. He is still here. All right. If you can see the 84 signs and events of the parousia, the 79 have taken place. If you can see that, well, that's a good thing, because then you'll see the voice when it also takes place. But if you cannot see that 79 of the 84 events, you have no clue what you're believing. Or you might be believing a doctrine. You might be believing a church. You might be believing a pastor or whatever, but you are not believing God, because he's the I am. He is not the I was. Okay? He's not the I was. Now, all right, so they are worshiping, thinking they are worshiping God through the church, but it's the way Satan does it. Now, so if you go to church and you enter into whatever the church is, because every church has its own doctrines, or it wouldn't be a church. And so, you know, we've got 2,000 different variants of the message. I mean, look, we got people so crazy, they think we're waiting for the third coming, that the second coming happened in 63, and they think that they're in the millennium, and, you know, the scripture says that the lion shall lay down with the lamb in the millennium. You know, well, if the lion lays down with the lamb, I don't see it. And I'm sorry, but if people are killing each other for a pair of tennis shoes, you know, when the Bible says they shall make their weapons into plowshares. You know, what kind of message are they listening to? So they're listening to a seed, and then they're projecting themselves. I'm sorry, but they're lost. They are actually, those people are lost. Okay, and many of them, unless they get with the program of God, I mean, unless they see him in the I am, as the I am, they are lost. And they'll have to give an account. They'll say, well, Lord, didn't I heal in your name? Did I do this in your name? Did I do that in your name? He said, depart from me. I never knew you. I never ginoscoed you. I never had an experiential knowledge of you. All right? Oh, you say, but wait a minute, Brother Brown. We preach the word. Don't you all? Look back here in my text tonight. Satan was the one who preached. Satan was the one preached the word to Eve first. God has said, see, it's a misconstruing that part of the scripture that applies to the day. Now, when is the saints, when is the true bride of Christ supposed to be manifested? Before he comes. When is the true bride supposed to have an adoption? Before he comes. You see, that's all got to take place under the parousia, and then we get consummated in the inner room, in the little chamber, and we get our body changed, and that's your adoption. But until then, you're in the process of being adopted, called the spirit of adoption. So what happens then if you just go on and live any old way that you choose? You're lost. Brother Bram said those that are adopted live the right, they're the right kind of son. You see, so, you know, if you're not the right kind of son, I'm sorry, but there's no inheritance for you. So it's a misconstruing that part of the scripture that applies to the day. He will let you know that all Jesus did was perfectly well. He will let you know that Moses did was perfectly well. But when you take the promise that they gave for this day, then that was to be applied to another age. Well, what about you and me? Brother Branham came. That's another age. The message is not God sent a prophet. That was another age. So what are you going to do? You better be saying that everything he says. And see, look, Brother Branham says the entire New Testament speaks of this hour. So every proverb, every parable speaks of what's happening now, not what was happening back then. All right. That's just all that he has done, see, is to get the people to believe in that way, and that's all. For you cannot take one word away from it or add one word to it, but that's what he does. All right? So it is not about the word being preached. It's not about whether Brother Branham was correct in his doctrine or not, or even to the listening to tape, the tapes of the word being preached, but whether we see what was being preached in the present truth, in the present tense or not. All right? Whether we see it alive and in real time or not. For God is the I am, not the I was or the will be. So if you are viewing the tapes as a good sermon or not, you fall into that category of those who are blinded as to what he is doing right now. And how many times has someone handed me a tape and said, oh, listen to this tape of Brother Branham, it's just really good, and they don't even know what he said or what he's saying. Well, it's a good sermon because he said something back then, 65 years ago, 70 years ago, or is it a good tape because what he said back then is really happening right now? All right. So people ignorantly worshiping Satan, thinking they are worshiping God. As we're warned in Scripture, in 2 Thessalonians, that let's just read 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Let's just get it a moment. And if I can, right away, I'd like to read that just, and I believe, 2 Thessalonians. Now, let me just tell you, for those that are just new to us, if it's in blue, it's Brother Brown. Brother Brown. If it's in red, it's Scripture. All right. Even if Brother M says it, it's the Scripture. All right? He says, I got the Scripture here and say, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus, and that word is parousia, and by our gathering together unto him, and see the coming of the Lord and the gathering unto him, as God will gather his people to him in the last days. Has it taken place? Yes. What is that? It's a sign, it's an event that's taking of the parousia. See, that word coming there is not coming. It was actually mistranslated. It means parousia. It is the word parousia. All right? The gathering of the people to the Lord, not to the church. Wow. Boy, that sure rewrites the history of the churches, doesn't it? To the Lord. Who's the Lord? In the beginning was who? The Word. And the Word was God. So, look, we are brought to this word, gathering together unto him, the word, that you may not soon be shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin, watch now, watch who he is now, man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, that was Judas, see, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he is God, setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, notice it is the same word, they read it and they hear it, but it is not a living word to them, but it is not alive to them, because they don't see the manifestation of it. From trying to do God a service, he said, now, he reveals his word only in its season. Martin Luther read the same Bible we did. Wesley read the same Bible Martin Luther did. Pentecostals read the same Bible we read. Jesus read the same Bible that the Pharisees read. But they had trying to keep the corn in the early stage when it was ripening. They failed to see their hour. Now, David has done the same thing. God reveals this word in the season and to whom he chooses to reveal it to. Remember, God said to Joshua and Caleb, the land is yours, go take it. The other said, well, there's giants in the land, and they said, well, God has given it to us, let's go take it. Well, then, in David's time, or not David, but anyway, after Elijah was Micah, the prophet. And they said, well, you know, they come up, you know, with the big horns in their head, and they said, we're going to take it. And they broke the thing, you know, the yoke upon his neck. And they said, see, God's given us the land. We're going to take it. And Micah said, well, you might go up there, but you won't come back. See, it wasn't the hour for it. It's death then. The hour, they missed the hour. All right? Now, God chooses who he reveals it to. Notice, God reveals this word in the season and to whom he chooses to reveal it to. God chooses who he reveals it to. He chose that before the foundation of the world. All of his doings were foreknown by him, hidden from man, just reveals them as he will. It is his chosen season, his chosen person, and he never did choose a party or sect. It is a chosen person how he does it. All right, from the indictment. You poor intellectual, spiritually deprived, rejected upon your own grounds, you read the same Bible that any other man can read, but you've turned down the Spirit of God till the Bible said you'd be given over to a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned by it. You actually believe that you're right. Now, I'm going to just, I won't ask a question, but... Because everybody thinks they're right, right? There's a way which seemeth right to man, but the way thereof is the way of death. And the Bible says that you'd be given it and be damned by the same lie that you believe to be the truth. Therefore, I indict you by the word of God. Now, how can you be indicted for believing his word if you believe it in the wrong season? If you believe it's for the wrong season? If you believe it is for 65 years ago and 70 years ago and 80 years ago, God sent a prophet, and you're not believing the same words that the prophet said are for you today, then you can be damned by it. Okay? I'm sorry if you still believe that way, but I'll just say this, you're lost. Okay? Now, recognizing your day, now I'm not saying you're you'll end up lost. I hope you'll repent and see the truth. All right. But if you don't see it and refuse to see it because, well, you know, brother so-and-so said the prosy is puke. Well, listen, that man himself is false anointed. All right. So don't tell me that just because what that man taught, he didn't teach right. He taught wrong. All right. I mean, if Paul says, if you believe anything other than or preach anything other than what I preach, let him be accursed. And Paul preached the prosy. Jesus preached to Perusia, and he said in Revelations that to add one word or take one word from me, your name will be taken from the book of life. Come on. Now, the man comes forth, and the woman takes his name, and these blinded Gentiles who can't see the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism, is just too bad, but it has to be that way. The Jews, they had to not see that. There's only one can see it. That's the one who's predestinated to see it. So why do you take on the name of Jesus at baptism? Because the whole host of heaven and earth are named Jesus. You know, these people that preach the new name, they don't know what they're talking about. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the new. Listen, one brother wrote to me and said, what is the new name of God? And I said, Jesus. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, I said, in your language, it's Jesus. And in this language over here, it's Gezu. And in this language over here, it's whatever. I mean, listen, you can look it up in Iranian. Or you can look up in every language, and it's a different name. But the name is Jesus, okay? And the whole host of family is named Jesus. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, you say, well... But Brother Branham said he received a new name. Yeah. You know, what is a name? A name is a description. All right? It's a description. In other words, we understand. It's a new name to you because you understand. It is you, part of you. You're part of him. You didn't understand that before. You do now. You understand now the whole host of heaven is named Jesus. You see, and I don't care about the name itself so much, because in English it's Jesus, in French is Jesus, and in Spanish is Jesus, and you know, it's just indifferent. It's pronounced differently. I mean, my name Kocurek is pronounced Kocurek and Kakurek, and you know, I have a list at home of 80 different spellings of my last name, and I just thought it was kind of comical, because you know, I'm still the same person though. Just because you call me something different doesn't make me different. So the name Jesus is an understanding. All right. Now, the prophet said, there's only one can see it. That's the one who's predestined to see it. Otherwise, you'll never see it. So my prayer for you is that you ask God to help you see it. If Jesus preached parousia, if Paul preached parousia, if John preached parousia, if James preached parousia, then look it up in your Bibles and then see what signs and events are associated with the great parousia of God, who came down in this hour with a shout. And he manifested through a prophet, but he remains on the scene because the prophet's gone, and he will bring forth a voice. It'll also be through a prophet. And then he brings forth a trump, and you're changed. And he stays here until that time is finished. Then he destroys the earth. He takes you up and destroys the earth. All right. So read the same Bible that you read. Now, after it's been made known to us, we can see it plain that that was Messiah. But they couldn't see it. Neither can they see it today. They are prophesied to be blinded too. The church of this day is prophesied to be blinded to reject the evening time message. There isn't going to be 2 million people in the bride. I'm sorry, I'd love to see it, but it's not going to happen. As it was in the days of Noah, wherein 8 souls were saved. Brother Branham said to the brother from out west, I forget his name, he had a son also that went hunting with him, and Joe, his name's Joe O'Reilly. And he said, Joe asked him, he said, Brother Branham, he said, some are saying there'll be 500 in the rapture. Some are saying 5,000. What do you think? He said, well, Brother Joel, he said, I'm kind of more partial to being 500 than 5,000. Now, do you know 500 people? Listen, 500, I know close to 500 around the world that really, truly believe that this is happening, maybe 300. And I would say, brothers and sisters, it's going to be a small group. It's not going to be a message. You know, these churches that call themselves message, they're denominations, because Brother Branham never called it a message church. You can't find one word where Brother Branham ever said message church. He said, Christians, I perceive that you are a Christian, not a message believer, a Christian. The message is only the Bible. Brother Branham came preaching the Bible, and they can't even take it to the Bible because they've got 2 souls and 7 thunders, and God knows what they got. They had 17 when he died. They are prophesied to be blinded too. The church of this day is prophesied to be blinded to reject the evening time message. All right. So Revelation 3 says so. Thou art wretched and miserable. Notice the bride's condition the other night, or the church, naked, blind, and don't know it. Jesus said, Lord Jesus, be merciful to us. The Bible says she was naked. I never saw it till just now. Laodicea church was naked. And when she appeared the other night, she was naked. Never noticed it. They didn't either. What appeared the other night? The vision of the American church, holding up a newspaper, and she was naked. What's that? It's Laodicea. Rich and increased with goods, and have need that to know. You know, you think you don't know it. You think you know everything, and you don't realize you're blind and naked. From the Sardisian church, he says, things that are ready to die, hold on to them. Now, he says here now in the third verse, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. I like that. And hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief. And thou shalt know and not know the hour that I come upon thee. Hold fast to your justification. Stick to it. Don't let them people stomp that back away from him, that also that you have received, you heard, And listen, they read the same Bible that we read. Now, I'm going to just get a little assistance here. You know, I got that from Brother Brown. You know, he talked about the man was preaching and they thought they gave him a lozenger and it turned out to be a marble. So a marble helps me. So anyway, see, they just didn't take all of it because it wasn't revealed to them. It wasn't for their age. That's the reason that they'll come forth in the resurrection. They walked in that light, in what light they had to walk in. So they come forth. Now look, what is he talking about then? Is that it is like opening a book and then reading the story in the book. And before you know it, you have stepped into that story and you are now actually living out that story. That is a reality that Brother Branham is talking about because the Word of God is God. The Word of God is a reality. And when we read it, we only read it and do not enter into it. We never will understand the rest of the story. So, just as the parousia, most people didn't know about it, but it came, it was here, it was real. In our dimension, we saw it. So will be the voice. So will be the voice. So will be the tent. So will be the little room. Everything Brother Branham said, he said, visions don't lie. They say, oh, but he missed. He missed his opportunity to get the bear. And you know what the people up there say? That bear, it appears and disappears. It appears and disappears. They go to shoot it and it disappears. It's still there. It's in a dimension and will be here, I believe, at the proper time for him to get that bear, because just like the fish that a resurrected Jesus served his apostles that made them recognize who he was, so will be when he is here. So it's like reading a book. If you get engrossed into that book and all of a sudden that book becomes part of your life, that's the Word of God. You are so engrossed in the Word of God, it becomes a part of who you are. All right? So Brother Brown continues. So now we are invited into him to be partakers of all that he is, not was, is. We're invited into him, which is hid to unbelievers by the veil of human flesh. See, they know that glory. They read of it. It's in the word here of the glory of God and things like that. It's just a word to them. To us, it's a manifestation. You see the difference? Just a word to them, but to us, it's a manifestation. See, it's no more a word. It's a reality. You see, when the word is transpired and you see it all around you, it is not a word anymore. It is a reality. God said, let there be light. And guess what? When light happened, it was a reality. It's no longer a word. It's no longer a seed that he said before the foundation of the world. Let there be light. It is now happening. It is a reality. All right? God said, let there be light. That was the word. But now there is light. It ain't the word, it's the light. See what I mean? And if we are invited to step into him and he is the word, then when we step into the word, it becomes a reality. God is just waiting for you to open his word and begin to read and then step into it and watch the reality of the word unfold before your very eyes. Now, I hope that you're beginning to see what he is driving at in this unveiling of God, where he says, now, it isn't just a written word to us. It's a reality. We are in him. Now we're enjoying him. Who is he? He's the word. We're in the word. Now we behold him, the word. Now we see him, the word, manifesting himself. It's hid out there because why? It's veiled in human flesh, see? So, are you understanding what I'm telling you this morning? You have a choice this morning to go on and continue to read the word looking back or looking forward, or you have a choice to step into that word and have it come manifested all around you until you and the Word become one, and the Word moves on from just a written word to you to an actual unfolding manifestation of the reality of the living God in your midst. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I know that, Father, my words were strong this morning. Not that I was looking to chasten anybody or to but Lord, just looking at the difference between looking back all the time or looking at what is happening right now. Father, we want to thank you that your parousia is manifested to us, and it is all around us. And we see there have been 79 of the 84 events, and we know that there's only a handful left for us, and that is the change of the body, the gathering together of the saints with the dead saints, and the rapture and getting, you know, the catching away. So, Lord, we know that the world being destroyed by fire is not for us, but you will be here to watch it take place to make sure that everything happens, but you will take us out. And so, Lord, we're just watching the unfolding of your word, and with joy we receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.